team is offers a series of meditation on the public work of Christ evangelizing the people. Certain features stand out in his ministry, specifically for Christ gave the apostles the opportunity to preach while they were still in training. Secondly, Christ forgave notorious sinners. Again, Christ astounded the public with miracles and gave the apostles a share in his own righteous power. For 2,000 years, the Catholic Church has performed miracles, real, genuine miracles. Finally, understandably, enemies of Christ marshal their forces to destroy him. For 3 years, he kept in hiding. For 3 years, he engaged his public ministry, just long enough to remain alive. First, Christ calmed the storm at sea. The focus of the Sermon on the Mount was the elevated moral teaching of Jesus. What Christ demanded of his followers was such self-sacrifice as no prophet of the Old Testament, no Jonah, had ever taught before. Following the miracle about Canaan, Jesus chooses another physical miracle to strengthen our faith in Christ's authority to lay superhuman demands on those who believe in his name. We need nothing less than miraculous power to follow Christ faithfully. In context, Christ is asleep. Every day of the life of Christ is important. A large crowd had assembled, but Jesus was tired. He orders to his followers to cross the sea. Once in the boat, a great storm broke out. So much so, as Matthew tells us, that the boat was covered by the waves, but Christ kept asleep. Jesus was human. He could become exhausted and need a rest. On this occasion, he was so tired, even the storm did not wake him up. What's the lesson for us? The lesson is never to doubt God's awareness of our trials. We sleep, God never does. He wants us to test our faith in his care by allowing us to wonder, be shocked, be worried, be tempted or be tempted to despair. Now the miracle after the doubt. Aroused by the storm, the disciples woke Jesus up and shouted, "Lord, save us, we are perishing." And the answer was to be expected. "Why are you afraid?" he asked them. "Oh, you little faith." We all have trial. You've endured, the more coming. I've had mine. All the books I write, I never publish. And the deepest, hardest trial was not to be supported by your own brethren. There is more to Christ's rebuke of the disciples than we might suppose. Naturally speaking, they had good reason to be afraid. But Christ was there with them. If they really, really, really believed who he was, why should they be afraid? Find ourselves. We must believe profoundly, deeply believe that God is behind every event in our lives, no matter how fearful the situation may be. Then, to strengthen their faith, his own almighty power, Christ woke up, rebuked the wind and the sea, and there came a great calm. The reaction of his disciples was to be expected. They were, to say the least, astonished. They asked themselves, "What kind of man is this? Even the sea and the wind obey him." Oh dear God, how important this meditation is. While we are sincerely trying to do God's will, and how trying the circumstances may be, never, never be afraid that you will not, with God's grace, be able to overcome. Another lesson. More frightening and terrifying the situation may be, the more God is ready to work. It may be a miracle. Common storms in our life. In pieces I've said for 52 years, I have miracles in my life to strengthen my faith. Always, God will work the miracles. On one condition, that we trust him absolutely. Trust in his power. Trust in his love. Confidence in God is part of his providence. More trials he sends us, more difficult a situation becomes, more humanly impossible we see our way of life, more sure we should be that God is there, ready, willing to help us. I have two quotations from two saints. Pope St. Gregory the First and Francis de Sales. Says Pope Gregory, the weight of fear is the anchor of the heart. The weight of fear is the anchor of the heart. I will never send us trials beyond the grace you provide. Not only withstand the trial, but become stronger because we have been tried. We're disabled. It'll be enough to receive the evils which come on us from time to time without anticipating them by the imagination. What fertile imagination we can have. So many of our fears, I mean this, our own imagination at work. In God's name, guard your imagination. The devil is very clever. He can arouse fears in us that may terrify us. The secret, I repeat, is to receive the evil which come upon us from time to time, but not hear it, not anticipate troubles or worries for the future. How many people are 50 years in the prison I've told? In God's name, control your imagination. Subtitle, Christ Walks on the Waters. Six chapters of the previous event we've just described. St. Matthew describes another miraculous experience. Christ is just for the multitude of the marvelous multiplication of the loaves of bread and fish. They dismissed the crowd. I'm telling his disciples to get into the boat and went up near my mountain by himself to pray. Oh, dear Lord, how logical Christ could be. He first worked the miracle, then dismissed the crowd, and he himself went up the mountain to pray. God will send us trials. One secret I recommend to all of you, watch your imagination. I believe most people, strange to say, I believe men have a more fertile imagination than women. I mean it. Who has written most of the poetry of the ages? Who has written most of the fiction stories? Men, what a fertile imagination we masculine gentlemen can have. The secret is to to control our imagination. I'll spend some time on this. We have a mind, we have a memory. Mind to think, a memory to remember. We also have an imagination. In God's name, I'm telling you, not suggesting, I'm telling you, in God's name, guard your imagination. I repeat what I've said before. I sincerely believe that men have a more fertile imagination than women. One thing we cannot conjure up with our fertile imagination. How many men, masculine gender, seem to be living in the present, you're living in the future better, you're living in the future of all. What's the future? The future is that which will never take place, which the imagination can conjure up. Oh dear God, how we can control our imagination. I know from experience there is one sure way of mastering the imagination. For me, that manner of control is prayer. Hear what I am saying. As my mind is otherwise occupied with duties I have to do, I talk to God. May I strongly recommend to all of you, cultivate the habit, I mean this, cultivate the habit of constant prayer. Among the benefits of this constant prayer is to control that wild imagination we all have, especially we masculine gender men. Pray. Talk to God as much as often, but whatever you wish, talk to Him. I know no better way to control the imagination than to engage in conversation with God. Be on. Christ then comes to His disciples at sea. After hours of praying alone, Jesus comes. They can't believe what they're seeing, the disciples. They see, looks like Jesus walking on the water for the disciples. And as the living God that became man, He made sure a storm broke out over the waters as Christ was walking on the sea. The disciples, seeing Jesus, were frightened. Frightened first by the storm, then their imagination being fertilized, they thought they saw a ghost. want to recognize we lost, they cried out, help us, help us. Then Jesus, over the loud storm at sea, cried out to them, take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. These three sentences, take courage, it is I, not be afraid, we all desperately need there are trials in our lives, crises, we call them. We are scared. Having finished my own graduate studies in psychology, I know a lot of psychologists. If the people just had faith enough, believe in Jesus Christ, the psychological profession will go out of business. How terrified we can become. And I say this with conviction. The more we are naturally, the stronger we are physically, more liable we are to give in to our fear. How we need to hear this from Christ, speak to each one of us. Every time we have a trial, it seems humanly impossible to cope with. He tells us, take courage. It is I am behind your trial. Do not be afraid. Over the years I've met and dealt with enough people who have allowed their fears to overtake their mind. For 5 years, while teaching at the State University in Michigan, got myself a chaplaincy of the State Hospital for the Mentally Deranged. Some 3,000 inmates, all they needed was trust in God. I think I should add this. Till I came to serve the people in the hospital, they had no Catholic chaplain. In 5 years, serving the hospital on weekends, and a chapel built. My son is still there. Let's see. 1965, 35 years after I left the hospital, was suddenly reserved in that mental institution. I can't have to tell you how many people were released from the hospital because this sinner counsel them. How we need, I know what I'm saying, how we need to believe that every trial, every difficulty, And because we experience comes to us from God, while we trust in Him absolutely, I mean absolutely, you have nothing to fear. Another episode of the Gospels. Peter comes to Christ. Those who had Christ said, was he? Then Peter, in a boat, where Jesus walking on the waters. Peter, the first pope, dear Lord, you and Peter was. Peter spoke up, Lord, it is you, bid me come to thee over the water. And Jesus told him, come. Peter, well, the disciple would do it. Get out of the boat and walk in the water toward Jesus. And Peter, not yet the vicar of Christ. What am I doing? Am I crazy? I'm walking on water. Christ told him to come. Peter's doubt caused him to begin to sink. He cried out, Lord, I am sinking. Save me. Jesus still standing on the water. Stretched out his hand to hold up Peter. This experience of Peter, I dare say, has been and will be duplicated in all of our lives. Humanly impossible situation. Don't say God is your help. Only trust in God. Then Christ rebuked Peter. He told him, Peter, your little faith. And he asked him, why do you doubt? I know what I am saying. You're living a very, very unbelieving nation. At Twin Hour Stories, you know one priest who is pastor of seven parishes. Priests leaving the priesthood. I've shared this with you before. One year, our diocese in Detroit closed 54 parish churches. How we need. Our desperately all need to trust in Jesus Christ as the living God. What Christ asked Peter, he is always asking us, why do you doubt? Let me tell you, a single doubt against the faith, hearing, is conscious and deliberate, is, hope you hear this again, a mortal sin. We need a strong, undoubting faith, foundation for an undoubting trust in Christ. When you begin to seek Christ, put on his hand, our own appearance, then all the disciples, your told, offered themselves for Jesus and declared, truly, you are the Son of God. I seldom say this. In God's providence, I have had humanly impossible situations. Trust, blind trust in God, is what we all need. The deeper the difficulty, the harder the trial, the more humanly impossible it seems to come, we have one in fatherly reliance, trust in Jesus Christ. Be one. The need for courage in the apostles. Remember, I've told this from the first conference, maybe until the last one, this retreat. We have not only to keep the faith ourselves, every one of you is meant to engage in the apostolate. Before we close this retreat, ask our Lord to tell you what person or persons the next year you should work, labor, everything you can, either bring back to the faith or convert to the Catholic Church. I like to say this. I mentioned the first 300 years of the Church's history. Every Christian, just a Christian, matters. You put in prison and put it in. That's because the ground of Rome, now it's 40 miles of catacombs. The Christians lived and worshipped underground and living in the pagan Roman Empire. And so are we, living in a pagan, once more pagan America. Do you hear me? Courage we need. Do our faith to pray. I'll keep repeating this until we close the retreat tomorrow. I'm asking all of you, to assist in Mass. Oh, we need it. I'll repeat it. To assist in Mass, Italian ogni giorno, English every day. That's what the early Christians did. And a mass underground. Same issues. Constantly place this meditation on need for courage in the apostolate. Yet before Christ sent the apostles out to preach. Oh, I know. 52 years in the priesthood. A book I will never publish. The price I've paid for proclaiming the Catholic faith. Hired as the first Catholic priest, hired by a state university, teach of all things Catholicism. It's all I did by the first semester. My four classes, I have over 2,000 students. All the classrooms were empty. To the administration over 2 years to get me out. I resorted to the only means they had at their disposal. They evicted me on false charges. I was trying to convert the university to the Catholic Church. How we need courage to be good, strong Catholics in pagan America today. I'm not finished yet. As I've said more than once, you're all called to bring others into the true faith with us. I don't think I've ever said this publicly. I fear for the salvation of any Catholic who has not seriously tried to convert as many non-Catholics to the true faith as possible. Following Christ, proclaiming his teaching to an unsympathetic world, and literally walking on water. We have only sinking feet. As Christ works the continuous miracle, may his teaching acceptable to our self preoccupied, shall I say, a self-adoring world. Number one, the sentence quotation from Thomas Aquinas. A principal act of courage is to endure, withstand dangers firmly, rather than to attack them. How we need courage. I use the first person plural pronoun. We are cowards. All of us are cowards by nature. Another quotation. This time, a long one. from St. John Chrysostom. There's one thing we should fear. Only one trial we should avoid, and that is sin. I'm still quoting Chrysostom. I'll show you this over and over again. All the rest is beside the point. We talk of plots, feuds, betrayals, slanders, abuses, confiscations of property, exile, swords, open sea, or universal war. Whatever they may be, they're all fugitives, imperishable. All these things we so dreadfully fear can affect only our mortal bodies. The worst that our enemies can do is to kill us. Hey, I've said this before. I pray for martyrdom since the day of my ordination. And I'm still alive. But we have only one fear, to offend God mortally and lose our soul. We go on. Christ sends the apostles to preach. One of the most extensive and detailed instructions that Christ ever gave was to the apostles when he sent them to preach the gospel. And they were still with him, visiting in Palestine. Long before his commission, and before his ascension, what did Christ promise? His apostles promised us power of demons. He gave his apostles power of the devil. Now, St. Nathan never tires pointing out those who proclaim the gospel are in deadly competition with the devil. Power over the devil is of the essence of the apostolate. You see what I'm telling you, in God's name, bring at least one soul to the true faith by 1 year from today. What day is today?
May
13th. By May 13th, year 2001, bring at least one, solitary one, at least one person into the Catholic Church. I'll ask the Lord keep you from falling asleep. Unless, in the year from today, you bring at least one person, either a stray sheep, back to the church, or a person who's never been a Catholic. The nation never tires pointing out, I quote, those who proclaim the gospel are in deadly competition with the devil. However, the devil is of the essence of being a true apostle of Jesus Christ. More than not quite finished. The need for prudence and patience. Christ in sending out his apostles to proclaim the gospel to all men. Among the original 12, remember, was a traitor. The other 11, I can say this, in Pentecost Sunday, were cowards. Christ sent out his apostles like sheep in the midst of wolves. As we told them, he's telling us, be wise as serpents and simple as doves. All that combination. Wise as serpents, simple as doves. The image interprets these two as prudence and patience. Why prudence? Because anyone who wants to bring others to the true faith, glory be on God, not to be seduced by the sinners he has come to convert. Oh, those we try to believe in the Catholic faith can be more cunning than we are. My patience. I will say this, I think, for the fifth time in this retreat. What cowards we naturally are. How desperately we need the virtue of patience. Why are there so many ex-Catholics in America? Why, as I've told you, one of the one archdiocese of Detroit, by no means the largest in the country, closed in 1 year 54 parish churches. Why? Because Catholics are scared, they're afraid, they're ashamed to proclaim their faith. On the grace of God, enable us to combine the two virtues that seem to be opposites, shrewdness and simplicity. Simplicity of faith, believing like a child in everything that Christ revealed. But shrewd, clever, smart, to win souls to Christ. As you see, this retreat is consciously and deliberately meant to inspire you to please God, I am succeeding, to inspire you to become apostles of Jesus Christ. What did you tell me today was? May what?
13.
May 13th. My May 13th is the year 2000, right? My major theme, 2001, wants every one of you, every single one of you, it is one soul back to the church for which he or she has strayed, or to find and become a Catholic because of your zeal. Now, one quotation of St. Ignatius. In treating with men, must speak little, listen much, Even these few words, we should speak as if the whole world to hear them. You are talking only to one person. Oh, how we need to learn the language of the Gospels in God's name. I beg you, I plead with you, every one of you, by May 13th, the year 2001, at least one soul to bring back to the Catholic faith or bring to believe in the Catholic faith because of your zeal. Amen. In the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.